from the theme park capital of the world, bringing you the latest in theme park and pop culture news. Welcome to the Thrill Geek Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Thrill Geek Podcast. I'm Clint, and Barry, I actually just got back from the airport picking him up from Tokyo, so he is resting. He's going to go into hibernation for this week's episode, but I've brought somebody else in today. Kept it kind of a surprise. I haven't talked about this week's podcast episode because I wasn't quite sure what we were going to do, how Barry was going to feel after coming home from Tokyo. So I brought the wife in. So she's here with me today. So this is my wife, Cheryl. She's going to be joining us today as we go through the week's happenings and get caught up with stuff.
Hello, I'm Cheryl.
So this week we actually got some things to talk about. I was out at Universal and I tried some of their holiday food offerings, which a lot of you had questions about where you can find certain things. I'm going to try and go over some of it. And what else? We got Stranger Things to talk about. Disney box office stuff. Carnival Cruise Line announced a cruise ship or a roller coaster for their Mardi Gras cruise ship. We're going to talk about that. And last but not least, I'm going to talk about the Kingdom Hearts 3 experience that opened up at Disney Springs on Friday, which I was there for. So first things first, really quick, we're going to talk about Stranger Things. Netflix has been pretty hush-hush about Season 3. They haven't really given away a whole lot except, I think, one or two trailers. Because they did the one where they showed it's going to take place in a mall. And I think they did one other one. I can't remember.
You've seen more than I have.
Yeah. But anyways, in this new teaser that they showed, it was just kind of like the intro at the beginning, and we got the titles of all the episodes, which I'll run through them really quick. It's Susie. These are the names of the titles for Season 3 of Stranger Things. It's Susie, Do You Copy?, The Mall Rats, The Case of the Missing Lifeguard, The Sauna Test, The Source, The Birthday, The Bite, and The Battle at Star Court. So, there you have it. Those are the names for Season 3 of Stranger Things. We didn't get an exact release date yet. The teaser trailer still just said 2019. And they released a new kind of like catchphrase. It says, in the summer of 1985, the adventure continues. So, I'm excited. You're a huge...
I'm a big Stranger Things fan because that was... I was born in 1981, so a lot of this was when I was about 4 or 5 years old, and I remember a lot of the things popping up on all the episodes.
Yeah, we're both 80s kids, so Stranger Things is very relative to us, so...
The Mallrats episode sounds pretty awesome.
Yeah, that one sounded interesting. I kind of went through and after I first saw him and kind of tried to pick him apart. The last one, the battle at Star Court, obviously something's going to go down because the name of the mall that they're really emphasizing for this season is Star Court, I think. So apparently something's going to go down at the mall for the finale.
Because everything goes down at the mall. Especially in the 80s and 90s.
Not today, because nobody shops in the mall.
Well, no.
It's all Amazon. But I'm excited about it. And we shouldn't be talking about Halloween Horror Nights, but this was the first time you had been to Halloween Horror Nights in a while.
Pretty much since we've had kids.
Yeah. And what did you think of the, real quick, before we get too off topic, what did you think of the Stranger Things maze this year at Horror Nights?
Very detailed. Definitely felt like I was stepping into a smaller studio, and I was stepping into the living room. So,
yeah.
I was in awe when I walked in.
It's good. The house was good. It was really, the sets were really good. I think I told Barry several times that, the scare factor occasionally wasn't there for me. Every now and then, the Demogorgons would get me. But the sets were amazing. Where the house lacked in scares, like you said, the sets on that house were like you were in the movie.
Except that one time I went through with my friend Danny.
Oh, yeah.
And those Demogorgons at the very end, then with 11, shot her hand out at us, and that Demogorgon came around at the very end. That got all three of us, and there was two people hanging on to me.
Yeah.
I don't get scared, but it was so timed well that it was perfect. But if you didn't get that scare, it wasn't scary.
Yeah. And that's the other big thing is, you know, everybody's talking about as huge as Stranger Things was at Halloween Horror Nights this year. Is it coming back next year? And it's almost a given because the crowds showed up this year in masses I've never seen before. So there's no doubt in my mind that Stranger Things will be coming back in 2019. And, you know, possibly for the foreseeable future after the crowds that it dragged in this year. So
I know most of my friends, they went for the first time this year because of Stranger Things.
Yeah. Oh,
that's... And then they ended up liking the whole event. So Stranger Things definitely brought people in.
Yeah, it brought in a whole new demographic for Halloween Horror Nights. So anyways, so yeah, Stranger Things season 3, 2019, we got the episodes, so we're getting there. We're all dying for more Stranger Things. So moving on, we're going to talk about this new Disney Pixar film that was announced, Onward. One of the coolest things about it was Star-Lord and Spider-Man are going to be in it. Well, not them themselves, but Chris Pratt and Tom Holland are going to be lending their voice talents to this new Disney Pixar film called Onward, which was announced last week. Julia Louis-Dreyfus is going to be another one that's going to be in the movie, well, voice acting. They really didn't release any details. The only thing that they mentioned in the press release was
words
that...
Words are hard.
Yeah, it is. It is, quote, set in a suburban fantasy world. Disney Pixar's Onward introduces two teenage elf brothers who embark on an extraordinary quest to discover if there is still a little magic out there. So, not too many details on it. We got the voice talents, and we got the release date, March 6th, 2020. And so, yeah, Onward. And the artwork looks... everybody was talking about this on social media. The artwork for Onward looks very similar to two other... one being Disney animation Frozen, and the other one being Pixar Brave. And if you haven't seen it, we have it up on the website on thrillgeek.com. So,
you know, it's interesting because what the basic synopsis seems to remind me of is something very magical, like Brave, where it's a little bit of folklore,
mm-hmm.
and then kind of the whole forest thing, you know, like elves going off looking for magic.
Yeah.
Kind of reminds me a little bit of Frozen and a little bit of Brave, so I guess it makes sense they have this font. It works.
Yeah, I guess. It was just, everybody's like, is this a sequel to Frozen or Brave or... What is this? No, it sounds really cool. I mean, come on, Chris Pratt and Tom Holland.
Bless.
It'll be really interesting to see what the characters of those two become in the movie. So yeah, that'll be coming out in 2020. I can't remember for the life. I mean, I apologize for this. What the next year we got Toy Story 4. So I think that's the only Pixar film coming out next year.
Toy Story 4. I think so, and I should know this.
You should. You're the animation guru here. So
else is live action.
Yeah. So yeah, Disney's Pixar's Onward comes out in 2020. So we got Toy Story 4 next year, and then this in 2020. So and I completely forgot. At the beginning, we were going to kind of talk about usually me and Barry. Usually we talk about kind of what's going on. We've been trying to get into this new thing where we talk about what's going on in our lives to make the podcast a little bit more personal. Since he's not here this week and my wife Cheryl's here, we could talk to you all week about being a parent of three kids. But this isn't a parenting podcast. This is a theme park and pop culture podcast. So we'll talk really quick about, long story short, I won tickets earlier last week to Trans-Siberian Orchestra here at the Amway Center in Orlando. So that was really cool. I was super excited about that. So we went Saturday night to that. I took my parents and we got a babysitter for the three kids. So a rare kind of date night out, I guess you could say. My parents came over and we headed over to the Amway Center and we checked out Trans-Siberian Orchestra. So the show was insane. Just lasers and fire and just everything you've seen online about Trans-Siberian Orchestra and how insane their concerts are. It's that and more.
And dragons. Don't forget dragons.
And dragons. Yeah, there was... You know, Trans-Siberian Orchestra is so well known for their Christmas music, but they do so much more than Christmas music. Like, they had this whole segment where, what's that song? The da, 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 da.
Like that Hellfire and Brimstone.
Yeah, kind of song. I can't think of the name of it, but they played that. And they had, like, they had a big, huge screen with, like, dragons and fire. And I think I heard one guy behind us, he was like, Are we going to hell? Or are we watching Christmas or something? Like, I forgot what he's... I don't know if you heard him.
But I did.
He was like, am I going to hell? Or are we watching a Christmas show? And
is this hell or is this Christmas?
Yeah. It was really funny. But they do other music other than, you know, they've just become so well known for their Christmas songs, which they nailed out of the park. You know, they have these platforms that are on, like... risers, and they
lifty uppy things.
The lifty uppy things, yeah. The guy, the lead guy, called them lifty uppy things during the show, and they're like these riser platforms, and they raise up the two guys playing. I think at one they had four of them, and they raise them up, and they kind of go over the people while they're playing the guitars, and they had pyro and the lasers. I mean, it could have been 2 hours of lasers for me and I would have been happy. The money that this band invested in lasers just blasting all over the place was nuts.
They're known for that.
Yeah, that was one of the things that I always saw whenever I saw somebody posting anything Trans-Siberian Orchestra were lasers everywhere, and they didn't disappoint because they were they were everywhere. But they put on a good solid show for what it was. Two and a half hours.
Yeah. They must have been exhausted. I was exhausted.
I was expecting like an hour and a half, 2 hour show, but no, they went for all of 2.5 hours. No intermission. Just straight, just rocking, you know, rocking and rolling. At first, they do the story of one of their CDs. I forgot which one it's called. The Lost Christmas Eve or whatever it is. They tell the story of that in like a concert form. And then they went into their non-Christmas music stuff, like we said, the dragons and the fire, and they played their non-Christmas stuff.
And they played some other, I guess, of their own Christmas music that they've written.
Yeah.
Over the years.
Yeah.
So it was a Christmas song, but it wasn't...
It wasn't like Carol of the Bells or, you know...
That was interesting. I like that.
There was one song that they did that I really liked, and I couldn't for the life of me remember the name of it. I mean, we all know that one song by Trans-Siberian Orchestra, the Carol of the Bells, Christmas Sarajevo or whatever it's called, which the finale, they went back and they did that for the finale, and the finale was phenomenal. They kind of had one little intermission where the lead guy came out and he was like, we haven't even turned on half the lights yet, or half of the lasers and half the special effects. So then they cranked it up even more, and it was such a cool show. I loved it. I had been dying to see Trans-Siberian Orchestra for years. My parents loved it. I loved it. So, you know, and the tickets, I mean, I won them, but I've looked up tickets before and, you know, tickets aren't that bad. You know, I think they're like $55 for kind of balcony seats. So, you know, save up all year and take your family to it. We ran into some people, your one of your coworkers, and you know they'll take those to save up instead of doing you know lots of Christmas presents. Take your whole family to see Trans-Siberian Orchestra. So, yeah, we loved it. I loved it. So, anyways, that was pretty much other than being a parent. That was the most exciting thing that happened this week for us.
That was cool. It did make me miss the Osborne lights though. Because so many of those songs they used.
You know, it was such a, my mind was like, it was one of those mind-melting experiences where you get out and you're just like, wow, that was crazy. So yeah, if you're ever thinking about seeing Trans-Siberian Orchestra, do it. It's, even if you do it just once in your lifetime, it's definitely worth the price of admission for tickets. I'm hoping, I want to see them again and get better tickets, because our tickets, I can't complain. They were free. I won them. But they were kind of off to the side. I would like to go one year where I actually buy the tickets and I'm down there like in the middle of the insanity, because that is probably a completely different experience than what we saw kind of up on the balcony and off to the side. But regardless, I loved it. Highly recommend it. So, yeah. So really quick here, we're also going to talk about moving on. We're going to talk about box office numbers from Disney. They announced that they have surpassed $7 billion in global box office for the calendar year 2018. The current record is held by Disney, which is $7.6 billion back in 2016. Obviously, Marvel films are a huge part of this, such as Infinity War, Black Panther. You know, both of them just cranking in the money for Disney. I think I have it here. Black Panther bought in $1.35 billion worldwide, including $700 million in U.S. and Canada. They also mentioned that the animated films were a huge help to this. Pixar Incredibles 2 was the biggest animated film in domestic history with $608.6 million. And the number two animated film of all time with $1.24 billion. So that's a seventh of their $7 billion right there. So, you know, and they're not done yet. You know, Mary Poppins Returns, which comes out, well, this will post tomorrow, so this week. Mary Poppins Returns comes out, which I got to see. We're not going to discuss in this episode, because I know Barry is probably going to really want to talk about it, and the wife, she hasn't seen it yet, so I mean, it's not really a spoiler-filled movie, so there isn't a whole lot I could spoil it for her, but I've told her my thoughts about it. I liked it. I enjoyed it. You know, I smiled a ton during the movie, just to kind of give you a quick non-spoiler, quick opinion of mine of the movie. You know, my cheeks hurt at the end of that movie. I was smiling so much. It's such a great feel-good movie. So I really enjoyed it. But we'll talk about that more when Barry's back, because I know he's been dying to see that movie. So we'll have a more in-depth review probably in a later episode. So yeah, Disney's, you know, they're not done yet with the box office, and they're projected that Mary Poppins could pull in $65 million through Christmas Day, basically. So over the next 9 days. So
job security.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
Yeah, you know, and it's, and next year they've got even more. They could do it next year. They could beat, if they make the record this year, which I don't know if they will, $7.6 billion. 2019, they've got The Lion King, Star Wars, Avengers Endgame,
Dumbo,
Captain Marvel,
Toy Story
4. So, you know, it's nonstop with them, and I think the only competition for Disney right now is Disney. Excuse me.
Disney shall take over the world.
Yeah, they are. We've already come to this conclusion that they are. So. Anyways, so there's some box office tidbits for you from Disney. They're ruling the world. So yeah, it's just insane to see, you know, what they've pulled off this year. And 2018 isn't done yet, so we'll see how Mary Poppins does, but it's Mary Poppins, so.
I love it.
Yeah, so, all right, moving on. Some theme park topics here. I got to go out to Universal Orlando Resort. They invited us out to go check out their holiday food offerings, which apparently a lot of people didn't quite know about because I started posting pictures on the Thrill Geek Twitter account and Facebook, and I had tons of people asking me, where can you get this? Where can you get that? And luckily, they sent me an email where almost everything is located. So if you need that, it's on thrillgeek.com. We have the breakdown of pretty much where the food and beverage, their holiday offerings are. So also, I have some of my favorites on there, which I'll talk about right now. And you even tried some because I got to take some goodies home. So you got to try the
waffle on a stick.
Waffle on a stick. So what'd you think of that?
That was so delicious. Remember, because you said, here, I got this. And I was like, what is it? You said, it's a waffle on a stick. And you went upstairs to put Charlotte to bed or something. And you came down and it was gone.
I came down and it was gone. I was like, oh, so somebody enjoyed the waffle on a stick.
And I just smiled with my mouth full of a waffle. It was very delicious. Highly recommend that.
Yeah, I had one there at the media event, and it was really good. I think I had somebody there. I think it was the same waffle on the stick that they used for the Stranger Things stuff.
Probably was. It kind of looked
for Halloween Horror Nights.
Which I didn't get to try that.
Yeah.
So I was glad
this was
to
the
try
same
it
thing, just with Christmas sprinkles on it. So
I'll take Christmas sprinkles.
You will take Christmas sprinkles. I prefer Halloween, but we all know this. Some of the other things that I really like, the apple strudel on the stick, which is one of the first things I tried. Really yummy. If you're a fan of like apple pies, it's basically an apple pie on a stick. Like take like a, that's the best way I can explain it. An apple pie on a stick, and it's covered in Christmas colored frosting all over the place. It was delicious. And those are available in a couple locations. Again, we have all these details on thrillgeek.com. Please don't ask me where they are. I had tons of people. I posted it on Facebook, Twitter. I had so many people asking me. I guess nobody knew where the holiday food at Universal was, which was probably one of the reasons why they had this event, to get the word out about it. Another delicious item was the red velvet Yule log. Basically what it says is it was a red velvet Yule log with a cream cheese,
icing.
Yeah. Thank you. And then chocolate dip bacon with Christmas colored sprinkles, which is available at Toothsome in City Walk, I think. And there's several other little goodies available in Toothsome at City Walk. So if you can't find this stuff in Universal or Islands of Adventure, it's in Toothsome. There was a few other items on there, but the chocolate covered bacon is their big claim to fame there. Excuse me. They have other chocolate dip bacon flavors, but they have a holiday one with Christmas sprinkles on it, which was delicious. And then of course they have, for the adults, they have a few alcoholic beverages. Which was the pumpkin teeny. They had a cranberry margarita, and gosh, I can't remember the blue one. It was a frosty. I have it here somewhere. Cranberry margarita, pumpkin teeny. I think it was called Jack Frost. There it is. I tried the Jack. I'm okay. I'm tired. It's called the Jack Frost, and I tried that one. I didn't try the pumpkin teeny, and I tried the cranberry margarita, which both were really good. The cranberry margarita was more of a kind of a casual drink. The Jack Frost was more of a festive, because it had I can't remember what was in it that he was telling me. I think the pumpkin teeny and cranberry. I had a few of the people there that tried the pumpkin teeny. I'm not a pumpkin person. I wish you were there.
This is why you need me to go to these things sometimes.
So you can do the pumpkin
stuff. Yes, I can try the stuff you don't like.
Yeah. Nope, not a pumpkin person. I can't do the pumpkin spice lattes or any of that stuff. But the cranberry Margarita and the Jack Frost were both pretty good. And again, those are in various locations throughout Universal Orlando. And then there's tons of other stuff that I won't bore you guys with. Of course, you've got the Wizarding World of Harry Potter food. You got hot butter beer. They have the holiday plate, which is really good. It's turkey. It's basically Thanksgiving in the Harry Potter, in the Wizarding World of Harry Potter.
My mouth just watered.
Yeah, it's all so good. And then I have all the details about the drinks. There was an apple cider Irish mule, which they didn't have there. I was bummed out because that sounded really yummy. And the apple pie on the rocks is another drink that I wanted to try. It's got vanilla vodka, apple juice, and cinnamon, which sounds delicious. And here's a Jack Frost. It has vodka, Prosecco mixed with lemonade and sugar on the rim of the drink. So there you go. And then they have two non-alcoholic beverages for kids and adults to try. One was a candy cane frozen beverage, which was a little too sweet for me. And then they had a frozen eggnog beverage, kind of like a slushy, like slurpy consistency. Which I did not try because I cannot do eggnog.
Again, why you need me? Because yeah. I can do eggnog.
You can do the eggnog and the pumpkin stuff all day because I can't. So, again, we have all those details up on thrillgeek.com. I posted the link on the Facebook page, Twitter. Scroll through there. There's tons of options that are not out in the open or like on a stand out in Universal. A lot of this stuff are in the restaurants. You have to go in the restaurants and find it, which is I think why a lot of people were having a hard time finding this stuff. It's not like Disney where they have a cart set outside selling this stuff. So you have to go in some of the quick service restaurants, some of the sit down restaurants, some of the stuff's available, you know, it's all over the place. So we have all the details on thrillgeek.com. So, what else have we got today? I'm trying to push through things here today. Moving on, I think we're going to talk about theme park stuff really quick, which this next topic really isn't a theme park topic because it takes place on a cruise ship, but it's a theme park topic because Carnival Cruise Line announced a roller coaster for their new ship coming in 2020. I think it's called the Mardi Gras. Yeah. The Mardi Gras ship will be based in Port Canaveral, and I guess they're building a whole new terminal for this ship. And we haven't been on a Carnival cruise; we've only been on Disney.
And I went on Royal.
Yeah, you've been on Royal Caribbean cruise. But this new ship will be coming in 2020. Mardi Gras, it's called. And 2022 is the 50th anniversary of Carnival Cruise Lines. But
is that the ship?
That's the ship. Yeah.
Wow, it looks amazing.
Yeah, we have an article up on the a video of the what's the roller coaster called? Bolt, I think it is. Yeah, Bolt. Bolt is the name of the roller coaster coming to the ship. And we also have artwork of the Mardi Gras ship itself. And you can kind of see there towards the back of the ship is the roller coaster, which it's interesting because this roller coaster, a lot of the coaster nerds kind of get up in arms about it, whether it's classified as a roller coaster because it's not coasting. This type of coaster that they're using, it's powered.
Gotcha.
It's not coasting.
It's not using gravity to powered. Move along.
Correct.
Got it.
So there's physics. A lot of coaster nerds and coaster fanboys that are up in arms about whether this can be classified as a roller coaster. It always comes up. Me, I'm like, whatever. I don't have time to debate this topic.
You know what? When it comes down to it, the general public do not care.
Yeah, they'll call it a roller coaster. But
it's a car on a track. It's a roller coaster.
Yeah, it's going to reach a top speed of nearly 40 miles an hour. The track length, it's going to be fairly short. It says nearly 800 feet long. With exhilarating twists, turns, and drops, reaching speeds of nearly 40 miles an hour. And then Carnival Cruise Line also said it'll be, quote, action-packed launch where riders can achieve race car-like levels of acceleration and culminates, excuse me, with a high-powered hairpin turn around Carnival's iconic funnel, which is in this picture. We have on the article on ThrillGeek.com, which I think that looks like the funnest part of the ride. It's going to go into this high bank turn around the big red funnel that everybody knows about with Carnival Cruise Lines. So it looks cool. We have the video up on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/thrillgeek. If you want to, they show off a few little segments of it, kind of like a POV view of it. It looks fun. It looks cool. Will it get me to go on a Carnival Cruise Line? Probably not, because anytime we get a chance to go on a cruise line, it's usually Disney Cruise. But hey, you never know. Maybe one day we'll go out there. The ship looks really nice. It's massive. The Mardi Gras ship that this thing's going on. And we have other details on the website. You can go there and check it out. So that one, again, construction starting in 2020. I apologize if I said the ship's coming in 2020. Construction on the ship is starting in 2020, and the ship will be delivered in 2022 for the 50th anniversary of Carnival Cruise Lines. So there you have it. Mardi Gras ship getting a quote, and I'm making quote with my hands, roller coaster for 2022 called Bolt. So,
and I think it'll be somewhat thrilling because when you're up that high over the water,
yeah, I mean,
like a ship, it's relatively small compared to us being on land. So even though it only goes 40 miles an hour,
yeah,
you're going to feel like you're going a little mm-hmm. faster because you've got so many other factors making it more thrilling.
The conversation was interesting on Twitter. I posted pictures on Twitter of the coaster, and there were people like retweeting and like saying, I can't remember some of the funny tweets I got. People were saying like, oh hell no, I ain't going on that. That thing's gonna go over the water or something. I'm gonna end up in the ocean or something. So people were being pretty funny about their thoughts on the Bolt roller coaster coming to this ship. But yeah, you're exactly right. Being, you know, I mean, I don't know how high typically cruise ships are. I mean, you're talking what, 8, 9, 10 stories
mm-hmm.
at least.
Well, it's kind of like the one that was on top of what was in Vegas. Remember they had that roller coaster?
Yeah,
there?
Extreme and Stratosphere. All yeah, yeah.
It's kind of like those.
Yeah,
you
you're 1,000 feet up in the air. And,
yeah,
you know. So it should be cool. I'm curious to see how it comes out. So yeah, that'll be coming in 2022 to the Carnival Mardi Gras ship. So finally here, I got the chance to go to Disney Springs, and they got a new Kingdom Hearts 3 experience. It's a temporary experience that they built in one of the, I can't remember the name of the store that was there before, but it was a store that kind of just had your generic Disney merchandise. So they closed that, and they put in this Kingdom Hearts 3 pop-up experience, which you can go in. It's a virtual queue. You have to go in and check in, and they send your phone. They ask for your phone number, and they send you a text messaging showing you how long the wait is, and they'll text you when you can come back, and it's your turn to play. Which that's one of the coolest things you can do with this experience is you can go in and choose between Xbox or PlayStation and play a 15-minute demo of Kingdom Hearts 3. Which I played there's two segments that you can choose from. You can either do the Toy Story one or the Olympus part, Hercules. And I did the Toy Story one, which I kind of regret afterwards because I was watching people and the Hercules part looks so much more fun going down like Mount Olympus and stuff. That part looks really cool. So I kind of was like, I should have done that one.
Well, now I know which one to do when I go.
And you're even more, you not even questionable. You're more of a Kingdom Hearts fan than me. I enjoy the game, but you know, this is
my game.
This is your Halo to me. Halo's my game, and this is her.
I started playing Kingdom Hearts before, like when it first came out. Because I was really big into Squaresoft,
mm-hmm.
and Final Fantasy IX was actually my first game. I know I'm late to the Squaresoft game, but IX was my first, and gosh, that was on the first PlayStation.
PlayStation?
Yeah, I think that was on the first one, And then I got into 10, cosplayed from 10 and 10-2. And then that's when Kingdom Hearts, the first game, was announced. And I'm being obsessed with Disney and Final Fantasy games. I was hooked as soon as that game came out. And then we got the second game. And that's when you and I had been together for a couple years.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've had 3 kids. And finally, we have the third one.
So 3 kids later for us, we're getting Kingdom Hearts 3.
Seriously.
to put a number on it. And it's been 12 years since we've had Kingdom Hearts 2. So, and, you know, there's been all these little Kingdom Hearts games in between, like Kingdom Hearts 2.86432-, and I don't know how, I'm guessing there's...
32-.
They're like all these, like, you know what I'm talking about? Like, these ones that come out in, like, the DS
Chain
and stuff.
Chain of Memories.
Chain of Memories and Kingdom Hearts. Kingdom Hearts negative 1.4682, and I'm like, what?
Kingdom Hearts Pi.
Yeah. Kingdom Hearts 3.14, and I'm like, what's going on here? But back to the experience, you get to choose between 2 demos, like I said, Hercules or Toy Story, and you get to play for 15 minutes before, you know, your screen pops up and it says, thank you for playing. I played the Toy Story segment. The game is a lot of fun. Nothing, you know, I played on Xbox and I got a lot of heat from people for saying that. They're like, you heathen, you're playing a PlayStation game on an Xbox. But
sorry guys, he likes Xbox.
Yeah, I'm an Xbox guy. Nothing against PlayStation. I love PlayStation. It's a great console. But not only am I an Xbox guy, I was really curious to see how the controls felt because, you know, I got into Kingdom Hearts when I met her with Kingdom Hearts 2, and we played it on PS2. So I was very familiar to the controls for PlayStation. So I was very curious to see how they transferred the controls over to the Xbox controller. And I'm happy to say I picked it up pretty quick. I was kind of stumbling at first, trying to find the attack button and the jump and, you know, but once I got it down, with tweaks and enhancements, it's the iconic Kingdom Hearts fighting controls that everybody loves. The gameplay, it's the same thing that everybody's familiar with previous Kingdom Hearts game, on a whole new level of detail. The detail in this game is just unreal. Like when you're in the Toy Story level, you start off in Andy's room and you can like jump out the window and you can go out into the street and the road and, you know, the worlds are going to be massive in this game. And I'm not dreading, but it's going to be funny to see how long it's going to take somebody to complete this game, because I would imagine the replay in this game is going to be ridiculous.
Well, it depends. If someone just plays quickly through the story, or if they're like me and wants to find every single 101 Dalmatian.
Yeah.
All those little side quests.
Yeah.
I think I did the first Kingdom Hearts in like, oh my gosh, 80 something hours, but I did everything.
Yeah. But no, the details are really incredible. The graphics... I mean, it's Kingdom Hearts, you know, it's that cartoony type of feel to it, just on a next gen console, on a visual perspective. The game looks great. The controls are really smooth. I loved it. I'm excited about it. And some of the other things you can do in the experience at Disney Springs, they have props, they have big giant keyblades that you can look at. They have Soras. They have a really cool Toy Story keyblade, that you can take pictures of. And they have merchandise there on display. They don't have anything. I had a lot of people asking me if they had stuff there you could buy. They don't have merchandise unless they plan on getting it later. Right now, excuse me, they don't have any merchandise you can buy there at the Kingdom Hearts 3 experience at Disney Springs. However, they do have a few iPads. Excuse me. They have a few iPads set up to where you can purchase Kingdom Hearts goodies, and you can—I think you can even pre-order the game. So I think that was it, really. They had some TVs set up that you could watch. They were playing cutscenes from the game. And the area it's in is really cool. They have giant Kingdom Hearts 3 murals up on the wall.
Oh, weren't they like posters of each land?
Yeah.
As if it was like almost like a movie poster. I saw some of those. There was like a Mount Olympus one, and
yeah.
They were really cool.
The San Francisco one, because there's going to be a Big Hero 6 section. The San Francisco mural is really cool. I want that when they're done with this. It runs through January 31st. So it's temporary. And again, it's located my best way to describe it, if you're familiar with Disney Springs and the new parking garage and everything, if you park in the Lime garage and you go down the escalator, to your right is the Polite Pig restaurant, and right there on the left is going to be the Kingdom Hearts experience. So you can't miss it. If you park in the Lime garage, you go down the escalator or the stairs, the elevator, whatever you take to get down to the Disney Springs shopping level, you'll see the Polite Pig on your right, and on the left is the Kingdom Hearts experience. So it's right there. So it's really cool. If you're a Kingdom Hearts fan, go over there, check it out, check in. You can play it for 15 minutes, and you know, they did a little grand opening ceremony when I was there. Like I said, it opened Friday morning. I was there for the grand opening, which you can watch on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/thrillgeek. I posted the grand opening ceremony. That they did a little ribbon cutting ceremony. I forgot who the guy's name was. They had some guy from Square Enix there, and he and somebody from Disney Springs did the ribbon cutting. And I also, in the same video, I kind of give an overview tour of the entire exhibit, which is pretty cool. It was surprising to see Disney do something like this. But it seems like they're really embracing Kingdom Hearts, which is great because, as you know,
for so long they just kind of like, yeah, it's something we kind of do,
yeah.
And it's Japanese, and we're not going to do much in America. And you had to pretty much go to anime conventions to get anything.
Yeah. So it's really nice to see Disney embracing Kingdom Hearts because it's such a cool franchise. You know, the stuff that they do with the characters, and not just characters, there's actual Disney rides in the video game. Like in the Mount Olympus section, you can do like a big Thunder Mountain Railroad.
Oh yeah.
What's his attack thing called?
It's a summon, right?
Summon, yeah.
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 Which at first when they showed that, what, like, oh my gosh, 5 years ago or something, they showed that, we were like, oh, it's coming soon. And
yeah,
here we are. But
5 years later.
Yeah. But I remember seeing that and going, that's really stupid, because I was used to like Simba and, you know, all those summons, you know, like characters.
Yeah.
Not attractions.
No, this looks really cool.
I hear that they're really amazing.
Because I played the Toy Story one, but I kind of hung around because I was getting photos and videos and everything, and I was watching other people play. In the Mount Olympus, the Olympus section, in the Hercules one, you can actually summon Big Thunder Mountain Railroad, and it's like flying around. It looks really cool. So yeah, if you're in Disney Springs this holiday season or through the month of January, be sure to check it out, especially if you're a fan of Kingdom Hearts, which comes out just over a month. January 31st, it comes out. So we're almost there. So all right, guys, I think that's it. I think we covered everything. Sweetie, thank you for joining me.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it was kind of a last-minute decision. I wasn't quite sure what we were going to do with Barry coming in. I knew he probably wasn't going to run a record. He's exhausted from this Tokyo trip, but he's going to rest up this week, and I think we're going to have... He told me on the drive, I picked him up at the airport, like I said at the beginning of the podcast, and he's got lots more videos to post on YouTube from Tokyo Disney, and he's got lots to talk about. So
I cannot wait to hear it.
Yeah, I'm excited to hear his thoughts on Tokyo Disney, which is nothing short of amazing.
We have been living through those two, their videos and pictures, and
everybody has, you know. Thank you everybody this week for everything, just about everything Barry's posted from Tokyo Disney has gone bonkers on our Twitter handle, our Facebook page. So thank you everybody for sharing all of Barry's content that he's been posting while he's been over there. And he told me he's got tons more stuff to post. He just, they had a Wi-Fi hotspot when they were over there, so they were kind of limited to posting stuff. And I told him, as you guys have heard on the podcast, I told him not to worry about posting stuff when he was over there. It was his first trip over there. I told him to enjoy it. He did. They had pretty good weather. It was freezing over there. And I think they had one day of rain. So he'll be back next week, and I'm excited to sit down and chat with him. All Tokyo, all things Tokyo Disney. So Barry usually does his part, so I'm going to do it. Once again, guys, we're on Twitter, @ThrillGeek, youtube.com/ThrillGeek. Where I have our Universal Holiday food video up there, where Chef Robert, he's the head of, I can't remember what his department is, but I interview him and he kind of walks around and shows us some of the holiday food at Universal Orlando. Research and development, that's what it is. He's kind of one of the chefs he's the head chef behind research and development for Universal Orlando. So he chats with us and kind of shows us some of the food. We got that up on YouTube. And Barry's got one or two videos from Tokyo. The parade, the nighttime parade, and I think he's got one other one on there. I'm not sure, but he said he's got lots more to go. So, and we're on Instagram.com/ThrillGeek. And you're listening to the Thrill Geek podcast, which you can find on all major podcast platforms. Spotify, iTunes, Google Play. We're on them all. Just search Thrill Geek and it should pop up. So, like I said, coming up, Barry's got our Tokyo trip, his Tokyo trip to talk about. I wish it was our Tokyo trip.
me too.
Yeah. He's got his Tokyo trip coming up. We're going to talk about that. So we got lots more stuff coming. And once again, guys, thank you for listening and we'll see you guys again next week.
Bye.
Hey guys, be sure to stay tuned after this episode for a special interview with research and development chef Robert Martinez Jr. from Universal Orlando as we sit down and chat with him about all the delicious food and drink options this holiday season at Universal Orlando Resort.
Hey everyone, I'm here with Robert and he is the research and development chef here at Universal Orlando, and we are here, it's Christmas time, and Christmas without food.
No such thing as Christmas without food.
So let's cut right to the chase here, Robert. Tell us again, you just kind of went over some of the food offerings this year and drink offerings. Kind of highlight some of the specialties that you, right. Some of your favorites.
So some of my favorites you could find at Croissant Moon and in Boulangerie, and it's going to be the red velvet Yule log. It's just got a cream cheese filling inside. The cake is super moist. They get made fresh in-house every single day. We have a chocolate reindeer cupcake that your kids are just going to love. there's a ribbon cake also that takes me back to my childhood because I'm from New York. And there's these Italian bakeries that do these they call them seven-layer cookies in New York, but we call them ribbon cakes. And they're just so festive. They got all three colors in them, white, red, and green. And they have a splash of chocolate out on the outside.
They almost look too nice to eat.
Yeah, and that's the point, right?
They're really pretty.
But once you eat them, you just can't stop the point.
Yeah.
So, we do food, and we do food like no other. We really, our whole park in general loves to immerse our guests into our atmosphere, and we love to do the same when it comes to food and beverage. We love to take classics and just put that little twist on them so that they're fun and trendy. And speaking on trendy, we have a lot of handheld things on sticks nowadays. Waffles on sticks
seems to be the craze, right?
It's just the craze. I guess people just love to just hold on to a stick.
It makes it easier.
Makes it easier. You don't get your hands dirty.
Yeah.
You could just throw it away right when you're done. But just to feature one, we have an apple strudel on a stick that just has fresh Granny Smith apples, puff pastry.
I think that's what I'm going for first.
Yeah,
is the apple strudel,
and they get baked in house every single day, and they're just delicious.
Real quick, let's touch on toothsome. They have their bacon. Come on now.
Right. So you could find some holiday chocolate bacon at Toothsome Chocolate Emporium right now. They have some festive sprinkles on top this year. They also have specialty macaroons that you could find over at the merchandise area. And, you know, Toothsome to us is our dessert kingdom.
It's the Emporium,
so
as it says in the name.
It's the Emporium, right? So you could just go there and you could just find a variation of holiday desserts, whether it's a peppermint cheesecake shot or a cranberry cheesecake bun. There's all these cool little twists to these desserts that we have out there.
Speaking of shots, the food is the only part, isn't the only part. You also have some specialty holiday drinks. Go ahead and kind of touch on some of those.
Yeah, correct. So we have a Jack Frost that you can find at Lombard's Landing in USF. It's got vodka and it's topped off with some Prosecco. It's a beautiful hint of blue. And you can also find a pumpkin teeny over at Mythos, which is just a pumpkin
martini.
Pumpkin martini, right? Pumpkin in a glass. And then also we're featuring a cranberry margarita that you could also find at Confisco's at Islands of Adventure.
Confisco's is one of the restaurants that over the years I've slowly began. I used to always walk past
you
it whenever
past
I visited
it,
Islands of Adventure. And it's really a hole in the wall, kind of a hidden gem with food. They have some great options in there. So
absolutely. There's a beautiful wood oven in there.
Yeah.
You know, we're making things to scratch in there as well. And it's attached to a bakery, so it's got the best of both worlds.
Yeah. So what was I going to ask? I went blank here for a second. So you being from New York, let's get kind of personal here for a second.
Okay.
What are some of the food family traditions you did up in New York?
I'm from New York, but I'm also Latin. So
oh, okay.
You know, we do holidays
a
whole different ball game of holidays. So we're doing rice and we're doing pulled pork and the whole nine.
Yeah.
Right? We have our own version of eggnog, which is coquito.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. So, you know, and coming from a huge family, it's a very important part of my year.
Yeah. Robert, thank you so much, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas to you.